Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Get ready. It's Toxic Sunday. We're going to talk about Qatar. Oh, apparently you're a Forest fan. Apparently you're a fake fan. Apparently you're not a real fan if you want Qatar to take over Manchester United. That went really well, didn't it? Really well. Thank you, everybody, who told us that it'd be okay with Sir Jim getting into bed with the Glazers. Big congratulations to PSG yesterday. Qatari owned, winning the Champions League as a team. The big message as well has to be they get rid of Mbappe, they build a team. Maybe Man United should be looking to do something like that, which we probably won't do because we've got crap owners. Also, we'll be talking about the latest with Bruno Fernandes as well. There's updates on Gyökeres. Qatar actually apparently are back interested in buying Manchester United. We'll talk about what that means as well. Also got the latest on Marcus Rashford, on Garnacho as well, and a few other bits of transfer news as the transfer window actually opens today. It is June the 1st and the transfer window is open for 10 days. It then closes for four. And then it reopens again till the end of August. End of August. So, lots to get into on the show. Don't worry. I think we're all used to Toxic Sunday. Basically, what Toxic Sunday is sad, bitter people who don't like the prospect of a new working week starting tomorrow go online and be abusive to everybody else. So expect it. Just get used to it. The reality is there is a breaking story coming out this morning that I think we should discuss. It's coming in from the Telegraph. It's coming in from Sam Wallace. And effectively what they're saying is that despite their withdrawal from the bidding process in October 23, the indication from Qatar is that they are still not abandoned their hope of owning Man United one day. They still believe the opportunity could present itself and nothing has happened since the deal between the Glazers and Sir Jim to diminish that. The best thing they could do if they want to stop that deal is buy the land around Manchester United. I mean, if the regeneration project doesn't happen, that's the end of the Glazers and that's the end of Sir Jim. Everybody knows it. It's got nothing to do with relegation. It's got nothing to do with not being in Europe. If that regeneration project doesn't happen, they're potless. They need private investment. They need government backing. They need what Sir Jim has put in place that the Glazers never could. And that's why they're working together. So if the Qataris really wanted to buy Man United, I do call bullshit, really, because they're not stupid people and they've got money. So they could easily have figured this out a long time ago. Like, that document was there from the Glazers in 2017. Before even talking to the Glazers, Qatar should have just bought a load of that land and said, you can't do the regeneration project because we own some of it. I'd be knocking on the door of some of them businesses and giving them millions. That's what I would have done. So I don't actually believe Qatar are coming back in for Manchester United at all. I think it's a convenient story. I wish I'd actually predicted it. And I bet some of you wish you did as well. Horrible season for Man United, right on their arse, you know, everything going wrong. Let's drop a story on a Sunday morning that the Qataris would like to buy Man United again. I just think it's predictable nonsense. We've got to get on with what we've got. And I know that sounds stupid from somebody that doesn't trust Sir Jim Ratcliffe and the Glazers, but this is what we got. I said this that Christmas Eve when it was announced. Wasn't what I wanted. We lost. We just better hope it works out because I don't see an alternative. That regeneration project will happen. That locks Sir Jim and the Glazers in for at least another 20 years, I think, because it's going to take 5 years to build it. Then they'll be reaping the benefits of it for at least 15 years. In fact, even if you're 15, I wouldn't expect to see a United that's not Glazer owned. Like, I genuinely think that this regeneration project turns Manchester United into Glazer owned for decades and decades and decades. I don't see a situation where it doesn't happen. So I think we have to get on with what we've got. I'd love to be sat here saying, yeah, I think Sir Jim and the Glazers might sell Manchester United. I don't think so. I think they're here to stay. I don't see a scenario where they go. They've got a lot of money coming into that club. You look at Tottenham, all right, they won the Europa League, but they've had a terrible season. Financially sound. Beyonce's back again. NFL's back again. Best stadium in the UK. Loads of money coming in. It doesn't matter what Spurs do on the pitch, really. I mean, Spurs fans won't want to listen to that, but it doesn't really matter. They're making so much money from that stadium that they're never going to be in trouble. So I think we've got what we've got and we've got to work with what we've got, really. As much as I'd like to, you know, spend half an hour talking about the Qataris, I think we've got to be real here. It's a fantasy They'd be there if the Glazers or Sir Jim wanted to sell. They would be there to buy, 100%, but they're not going to sell. They're not going to sell. James A, welcome to the Members Club. The reality is the club should be sold ASAP, but the Glazers want to milk the club till the last drop. Sad what's happening, says Ayuz. Thank you very much. Jang Shio, thank you very much. Good morning, sir. Hope all is well. Yes, I hope all's well with you, Owen, as well. So let's get into some of the news. We have got updates on Jokeres. We have got updates around Garnacho, Bruno as well. But I just want to say this right at the start of the show, by the way. I'm sure many of you watched the Champions League final last night. Demolition job by PSG against Inter. I don't know how to put this without being really, really blunt, but sell Bruno Fernandes. Like, sell Bruno Fernandes. Stop waiting for him to make his mind up and just make the decision yourself. Sell Bruno Fernandes. Like, he's sat there thinking about it and you're going, please don't go. Just sell him. Bring him up and say, yeah, you know you're deciding what you want to do. We're Manchester United. You're not deciding what you want to do. You're sold. Go. Like, just why, you know, you've got such hypocrisy that gets exposed so quickly at that football club. So Jim says something, Barada says something, Amrim says something, and within weeks, they're proved to be wrong. Like, Ruben Amrim said, we only want players at this football club that want to play for Manchester United. Your captain's literally sitting there thinking about going, but you only want players that want to play at Man United. You literally did an interview a couple of days ago begging him to stay, saying we've got to show Bruno why to stay. We've got to show him the new training. We've got to show him the new coaching. This 2 weeks ago, you were saying you can only be at Man United if you want to play for Man United. And now you're going, oh, please don't go. Please don't go. It's like the club just doesn't know what it is anymore. David Beckham made a great comment yesterday about how some of the players' actions out in Malaysia and Hong Kong was appalling. Yes, it's been a bad season, but there's a way you need to conduct yourself for those fans. You've got to smile, you've got to sign, you've got to be professional. But David Beckham's talking about a time where the club had an identity. We don't have an identity anymore. It's one soundbite after another. And this is the problem when you do loads of interviews. You wrap yourself up in things that are going to come back and bite you on the arse. Bruno Fernandes is sat there right now as the captain of Manchester United deciding what he wants to do. He might decide he wants to stay, but are we all going to forget the fact that he spent 3 weeks thinking about leaving? That in itself sort of makes you think, not really dedicated to whatever the cause is he? And I'm not blaming Bruno. He knows more than us what's going on. But I look at PSG, I look at the removal of Mbappe, I look at the vision of building a team, and there's no doubt that Mbappe is one of the best players in the world, but PSG are better without Mbappe. So I look at Bruno Fernandes and I go, there's no doubt he's the best player in our team, but we can be a better team without Bruno Fernandes. And people are, you know, the people who say without Bruno, we'd have got relegated. Well, exactly. Exactly. You're basically exposing the point. We're a bit of a one-man team. Without Bruno, we'd have got relegated because everyone else wouldn't have been good enough. So without Bruno, we're not a team. With Bruno, we're reliant on Bruno. We're not a team. So you've basically solved your own problem. All these people going, we can't let Bruno go. If we didn't have Bruno, we'd have got relegated. You've literally just solved the problem for us. What you're saying is without Bruno, we get relegated because we're basically nothing without Bruno. So a little bit like PSG with Mbappe then, isn't it? We need to remove Bruno and build a fucking team because no team can be reliant on one player. It doesn't work in the modern day. You've got to be a team. So if I'm Man United, I'm looking at last night and I'm going, what's this manager on about? We can't let Bruno go. We can't let Bruno go. I thought you had a system, mate. I thought everything about you was a 3-4-3. I thought 3-4-3 was your thing. I thought 3-4-3 was the thing we've got to build for you. I thought you needed a pre-season for 3-4-3. You're now talking about Bruno Fernandes, a player you didn't buy, Ollie bought, and you're going on like he's the, you know, be-all and end-all. I'm not seeing that in the rest of the world football, to be honest with you. In fact, I'm seeing a team that's the best team in the world who removed their best player to build a team. And I think that's what we need to do. I think it's very, very, very obvious that's what we want. That's what we need to do. And look, PSG maybe did want to keep Mbappe, but they were better without him. So I'm not saying that PSG definitely got it right, but they landed on a right decision. You can learn a lot from it. And he doesn't suit our system. He'll pull in the numbers next year, but he doesn't suit our system. And £100 million is a ridiculous amount of money. And I'm getting a little bit tired of the football club, because where we actually are as a football club is a disgrace. It's an absolute shambles where we are. And we're showing no leadership. As we said yesterday morning, it's time to get bloody moving. That's what we need to do. Anyway, let's get into some of the transfer news, because it is a morning show. So quite a lot to get into this morning. Somebody said, have you seen what Sky just said? Let me have a quick look at that, because I haven't seen that. That might be a little bit of a... Okay. I've seen it now. Yeah. Okay. So I don't even know who this person is. Sky Sports Lyle. Lyle Thomas, news editor at Sky Sports News. 56,000 followers on Twitter. It's going really well, mate, isn't it? Manchester United also have Sesko on their radar, while wingers include Semenyo, Mbeumo and Hudson-Odoi. What did he do? Just wake up and choose bullshit? I mean, Semenyo we're not in talks with. We've never seriously been in talks with. Mbeumo, we know, everyone knows we like, but Newcastle are way ahead of us on that. Hudson-Odoi? I've got to be honest, Hudson-Odoi just strikes me as, not a pound land, but he ain't a langer. So that's terrible. Thanks everyone for letting me read that, because I'll never forget. I'm never going to get those 10 seconds back. Priorities for Man United are striker, number 10 and a winger, and at least one of those is imminent. What? Who is this person? I mean, Sky Sports really has got to take a look at itself. What happened to the days when you had good, you know, proper journalists instead of white trainers brigade? You know, you used to have people like, you remember Sky Sports when it was good years ago? What was the name of that journalist they used to use for Manchester United? He was really good. James somebody. I mean, we don't even use wingers, mate. We use wingbacks. We're not looking for a bloody winger. Man United are not looking for a striker, a number 10 and a winger. We're looking for a striker and a number 10. Can't even get... This is what happens when people don't even watch Manchester United. They just talk about it. We're not looking for a number 10 and a winger. We're looking for a number 10 who could be a winger, like an Mbeumo. We're not looking for a number 10 and a winger. We've already got Cunha. We're not going for three forwards behind the striker. Oh, God. Terrible. James Cooper, that was it. Whatever happened to him? Really good, he was. Anyway, of more interest, let's talk about a little bit about Mbeumo, actually. The Chronicle Newcastle reporting this morning that Newcastle have the advantage over Man United to sign Mbeumo. The Manchester outfit have been looking to move for the player. However, Newcastle have the edge due to them having the money and Champions League football, which I suppose is an interesting point. The latest on Bruno Fernandes, by the way, is that he is causing frustration in Saudi. We spoke about this yesterday, a little bit of delays, but apparently a little bit more came out last night that they're getting frustrated with Bruno because he keeps changing his demands. So apparently they offered him a 5-year deal. He only wants a 3-year deal. Apparently they've offered him good money and he keeps changing what he wants. To me, it sounds like a guy who doesn't know what he wants, if that's true. I mean, honestly, I think the way that United have handled this without going over old ground is shocking. Like, your captain is basically flirting with somebody else. That just says everything about the problems that you've got at your football club at the moment. I don't know why that one wasn't on. So, I don't know. But anyway, let me talk to you a little bit about Gyökeres. So, a few people saying about Gyökeres talks and what's going on with him. Look, it's not breaking news. The situation before the Europa League final from Fabrizio Romano and a couple of others is that Manchester United were very strongly interested in Gyökeres. Where we are at the moment is that we're still very interested in Gyökeres. Ben Jacobs was talking about this on the show with Beth on Friday. Man United really would. And Ben Jacobs said it on Friday. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if United made a move for Gyökeres again. But it's just a very difficult deal to do because of his situation with, you know, being one of the better strikers in Europe and wanting to play Champions League football, which we can't offer and probably can't offer next year. I think this is one of the big problems that United have got. It's not that we're saying to players it's 1 year out of the Champions League. It's that we're saying it could be three. You know, we don't know how long we could be out of Europe. And the problem is, unlike a few years ago when we got Pogba to come, that was very much Jose saying it's 1 year out. and we've got the Europa League, and also the Champions League was a little bit smaller than it is now. There's so many teams in there. You could go to Napoli. You could go to Spurs. You could play Champions League football by going to clubs that can afford you that maybe you wouldn't have gone to before. One club he's not going to go to is Barcelona. Deco has said that they're not looking for a striker. So, but I don't know how many clubs you can tick off before he ends up coming to Man United is what I'm trying to say. We're definitely interested. We'd definitely like to do this deal. But if we'd got Delap, we wouldn't have gone anywhere near this. So you've got to have that sense of reality when you're thinking these things through. If Delap had chosen Man United, we never would have gone in for Gyökeres. That would have been it. That would have been our striker. So you've got to get your head around that and go, why was that the case then? Why were we only going for Delap? And that's obviously because we'd been told no. Or that Delap was really, really cheap. But either way, it doesn't help us, does it? That Gyökeres has doubled the price and may have said no to us. So look, Gyökeres is still there. Of course he is. But your job's made a lot easier if you've got £100 billion in your pocket. I mean, I personally think that Emi Martinez at Villa would look at the Man United goalkeeping position if we knocked on the door. If you've got that £100 million from Bruno Fernandes, I think you can go and knock on the door for Gyökeres and for Emi Martinez with a substantial wad of cash and say, you know, we actually believe that we bring you two in and a couple of other players and we can be in the top five next season back in the Champions League. I think that you've got to look at, so look, it always seems to go back to Bruno at the moment, but if I said to you, look at what PSG did when Mbappe left. They built a team to win the Champions League. If Mbappe had stayed, would they have won the Champions League? Building a team around Mbappe, would they have won the Champions League? No. Building a team without Mbappe, they did win the Champions League. And I think United have got to look at that. Do you want to build a team without Bruno Fernandes, or do you want to build around Bruno Fernandes with a limited budget? And to me, the obvious answer is the former. But United seem to be very obsessed on the latter, building a team around Bruno Fernandes. I don't know what Man United are playing at, actually. It's mildly irritating that in 2025, we're trying to do something that very few teams do anymore. We're trying to build a team around one player. It's weird. It's a little bit weird to be building a team around one player in 2025, because there's not really that many teams that do it. Barcelona don't build their team around Yamal. Real Madrid don't build their team around Vinicius Junior. They are their best players, but they're not building the team around them. There's a team that can play if they're injured. We just seem to be... We're completely locked in on Bruno. I've said it so many times. When he doesn't play, we're worse. When he comes off, we're worse. We're so obsessed around this. United have gotten B and C options for years and we're crap at player development. No surprise we're a mid-table team, says Marlowe. When do you see us getting top five, says United? When do you see us getting top five yearly, says Reflex? I think all of us would agree that if we had a better team... The amazing thing about football that people don't really think about, and I certainly don't think Sir Jim or the Glazers do because they're playing the game they're playing, is that at the end of the season, everything resets. And at the start of the season, everybody starts with the same points. So the only reason I'm sat here saying that we'll be nowhere near top five is because that squad's nowhere near good enough. We finished the season in the bottom half of the table and we're miles away. But the amazing thing about football is you can end the season badly and you can start the season afresh, completely different. So if you gave me a top goalkeeper, a top midfielder, two top number 10s and a top striker, I'd probably say instantly we're in and around the top six. It's a reset every year, but where we are at the moment, mate, I can't put us in the top five because I don't know what we're going to do. But I think, look, the reality is that if United weren't sinking in debt and had rich owners, then you would have a completely different Man United side starting the season next year full of talent. And suddenly I think you'd be back in the Champions League in a year, which would be a dream for us next season. The weird thing about Gyökeres is it's eerily quiet. Maybe an agreement has been made, not sure, says Alonso. Look, the great thing is that I'm actually quite pleased that the transfer window is open today. Normally it doesn't open till the middle of June. The fact that it's open today, I don't see the point on people waiting. Obviously it's a Sunday today, so we might not get here we goes and bombers, but I expect next week to see some happening because some people want to do business because of the Club World Cup. Some people want to do business because they want to have players ready for pre-season. So I'm hoping that things are going to happen. I do agree with you. The Gyökeres deal being quiet sort of makes me think something's being done. I just can't figure what it is. I think it's an international week as well this week as well. Yurian, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much. Z is boss, says, Amrim would not wait to sell Bruno for selfish reasons, which is understandable. Portuguese captain and number one player he has on his side in the dressing room. Club has to do what's best for the club. And Emily Derry says, at a time where we need to be decisive, our owners dither. A clear decision on Bruno clears up a lot of murky pile of crap, says Emily Derry. I think it's just the way you are as well. Like, if I was running a football club and put yourself in this situation, if you were running a business, pub, carpenters, buildings, you know, whatever, you run a business and one of your best workers is tapped up by a rival and they're sat there going, I just need to think about this. And they're thinking about it. At what point do you just keep begging and saying, please stay, please stay, please stay? At what point do you go, you know what? If he ends up going, we look really weak. And there's a big chance he's going to go. We need to be on the front foot here. Like, are we that reliant on this person? Is the business going to fall apart if he goes? Or actually, do we move on and survive in a better way and learn from this? But United just seem to be so weak. I have a United Stan membership before an MUTV membership. The perks are better here, says James. Thank you, pal. Hope you're doing well. Dom says, I think we'll do well this season. Last time Chelsea won the league was when they were out of Europe. Can't deal with one like our last, says Dom. I think there's absolutely no reason to be optimistic about next season at the moment, Dom. I wouldn't rule it out being a good season next year, but I think right here, right now, we're in a worse position at the start of next season than we are at the end of last season. Like, we've done nothing. Cunha's coming in. We don't know what's happening with Bruno. Garnacho's going to go. Rashford's going to go. I'm sure we'll end up in a better position, but at the moment, it's tough. We don't even know. Here, this is something I think is really interesting at the moment. We don't even know. Even if we get money, we don't even know where we're going with that money. And this is something that I read in the comments last night, and I thought it was a great point. It's all right saying, basically what the comment said was, they agreed with selling Bruno. They agreed with what I'd said, what many of you'd said, what Paul Scholes had said. He doesn't really suit the system. He's 31. We're too reliant on him. That's not healthy in the modern day to be so reliant on one player. You need to build a team. So they were basically saying that I agree with him going, and £100 million is a lot of money. But the problem is, £100 million for Bruno, £50 for Garnacho, £30 for Rashford, £180 million. You can rebuild half a team with £180 million easily. You can get a goalkeeper, midfielder, centre-back. But what they said is, once you've got that £180 million, who are you buying? And it made me think, it's not actually a bad point, is it? It's like being in that 24-hour petrol station on Christmas Eve when, you know, you haven't bought anyone any presents and there's nothing on the shelves, but you've got a money pocket full of money. What would we buy with that money now? Because we've left it late again, haven't we? We've dithered. Like, we didn't get Delap. There's a lot of people talking about Mbeumo. There's a lot of people talking about shit that they don't know anything about. They're just creating content, clicks, whatever you want to call it. That's the life of a journalist and an aggregator. I get that. But there is no definitive Man United signing at the moment. And we know, have years of experience, we know who we're buying weeks before we get them. We've literally just had it with Cunha. Weeks ago, we knew he was going to be here we go. And it takes weeks. So we know with United that we've got to be linked to somebody for a very long time before we actually do the here we go and everything like that. Right now, nothing. Radio silence. United haven't even released yet who they're going for next. Delap, obviously, we didn't get. Cunha, we did get. So even if you've got the money, where are we going to go? Cherky's going Man City. Mastantanu's not coming to Man United. Gyökeres, very, very unlikely. Semenyu we're not talking to. And Bermo, probably Newcastle. Tyler Dibling is... I've said to you for weeks, Tyler Dibling, I can see happening. Will Cox knows him from Southampton. Another learner driver. I can see that one a mile off. That'll cost us about 40 million. I can see that. But at the moment, very quiet, but I can see that one a million miles off. I'd be stunned if we don't do that. What is he, 19? Mateta maybe will move from that. I mean, Edison's still there, but I'm not convinced that's going to happen. Wharton, dream on. So this is a valid point. And this is the whole point of having a community, isn't it? Like, I agree. That person in the comments last night agrees that moving Bruno on is the right thing to do. But how would they actually spend the money? What's actually out there for a club that's notoriously quite crap at negotiations? So, yeah, you could build a whole team with 150 million. But where are these players? Where are they coming from? Because we're not massively linked, you know, concrete link to anybody at the moment. That can change very, very quickly. But I don't get the feeling that Wilcox is actually very experienced. I think he's a learner driver. He had a little bit of time with Man City as a youth team person, and he had 1 year at Southampton. So I don't think he's particularly experienced. I think Favell's very good around young players and the RB group. I don't think we miss Dan Ashworth, by the way. I don't particularly think he's very good either. But, you look at the way Liverpool are operating with Edwards, and you look at the way Arsenal will operate with Berta. I think what I'm trying to say is you can have £150 million to spend, but if it's in the hand of an inexperienced technical director, it can be problematic, and we don't have a proper director of football again. So, yeah. I mean, Wilcox needs to step up to the plate this summer. Really does. Probably not discussed, but Bruno, Rashi and Garnacho are probably the biggest shirt stellers. Not sure on numbers, but that's a big hole in merch income we'd need to fill with a big name or two, says Smoggy. I think Cunha would bring in shirt sales. I think a Gyökeres would bring in shirt sales. I mean, look, imagine if you add Emi Martinez in goal. We were selling the third goalkeeping kit sold out with an Arna in goal. Imagine what it would do with Emi Martinez. I think Cunha in the Brazilian market would be useful. But look, I don't know. I don't know, like, where we're going at the moment, United. I expect it to change imminently. Could be in the next 10 minutes, could be in the next 10 days. We need to know who the next targets are. But I said this to you on Friday and yesterday morning when we got the information in, but I said it on Friday just on a hunch. I feel like United are reeling after that Liam Delap snub. I think they really thought they were going to get him. I think Wilcox is probably licking his wounds at the weekend going, I've really sold that deal. I've really, you know, made out that I'm going to get that deal done, and I haven't. And I think the club at the moment, I imagine there's some quite serious conversations going on in the boardroom about what do we do? We've been snubbed by Chelsea, which is going to destroy Sejin. We've got Bruno, our captain, thinking about leaving. Cunha is a good signing, but it's sort of been lost. Because every fan knows it's not enough. So where are we going next? What are we doing next? What is the plan? And I think that's what we're waiting to see. I expect this week we'll start to get a plan. I'm not going to say we're just going to dither through the transfer window. I don't think that will happen. It's never happened. But I think they need to decide their direction. One Inch Wonder says, I'm still laughing at 30 million for Frimpong and we've got Dalot. I mean, that Frimpong deal, incredible. Absolutely incredible. £30 million. £10 million a year for 3 years. So they got it in installments as well. And they basically got him for nothing this summer because the £10 million they need to play Leverkusen, they've just had from Real Madrid for a player that's out of contract, Trent, so they can have him a month early. So they basically got Frimpong and a free until next year when they pay installment two. And the hilarious thing is, this has been known for 3 years. 2 years ago, Ten Hag was after Frimpong. Like, he's had that release clause for 2 years. And we've needed a right back slash right wing back for years It's hilarious. Look, maybe I think he would have snubbed us this summer anyway, but we could have done it before. Why aren't we trying to find a buyer for Rashford? I've got something on Rashford and Garnacho in a moment, Bilal. Use Scott McTominay as an example. I'd offer him to Napoli. Robert McCormack says we might get Gyökeres due to his options. Watkins as well, says Robert. I'd take Watkins. I know a lot of people wouldn't, but I would. Hi, Mark. What's fascinating is if the club trusted itself to sell, they would already buy players. We clearly have a horrible business team, says Caleb. Yeah, I think what you're saying there is if you know you're selling, why aren't you buying? It's the old thing. Sell to buy is a really bad strategy if you've got to sell first. If I knew I was getting £50 million for Garnacho next month, I'd be spending that £50 million now negotiating with clubs that don't know we're going to sell Garnacho. Probably not discussed, but Bruno, Rashi, and I've done that one from Smoggy. Nigel Flynn says Sancho, Rashford, Casemiro, Bruno, all on 300k a week. If they all go, that's 75 million a year in wages, says Nigel. Yeah, but where does that money go? Does it go on debt? Does it go on, you know, other things? Does it go on transfers? We've literally no identity right now as a club, says Sanil. Nick says, catching up from the start of the show, and I'm really disappointed in your agenda to now turn people on Bruno. We're lucky if he stays. But mate, it's not an agenda. You know, for somebody that's got Nick Warren coaching in your byline, I hope you don't coach people on management or people skills, because coming out with the word an agenda is just so immature and childish. It's not an agenda when someone has a different opinion to you, Nick. I've explained the Bruno thing quite extensively since the Europa League final. Before the Europa League final, I wouldn't have sold Bruno, and I was dead against it, and the videos are there. The reason I'm selling Bruno is because the club's on its arse, and if the club is on its arse, then it needs to take drastic action, and it needs a lot of money, and it needs half a team. And apparently we haven't got any money, and somebody's offering us £100 million for Bruno Fernandes. So there's the building blocks, basically. I know Bruno wasn't the best of captains. Do we have a half-decent captain candidate if Bruno leaves? De Ligt, Youssef. It's like learning to ride a bike, says Emily Derry. In order to go faster and farther, you need to take off the stabilisers and go for it. I'd sell Bruno, says Emily. Well, I'm going to do a poll. Who would sell Bruno, actually? We'll do that because, you know, apparently you're all impressionable idiots, according to Nick, who will believe anything I say. I'm going to drop a link, and if you can all give me 50 quid, I should make about 20,000 times 50 quid. Yeah, great. Don't you just love Sundays? Yes or no? Don't you just love Sundays, though, when people basically come out with stuff about how if you don't think with them, you're a hater and you've got an agenda? 10 years we've been doing this. Most of it has been spent having proper debates. Would you sell Bruno? Yes or no? There we go. Okay. If we sell Bruno, who's our captain replacement, says One Shot. De Ligt, captain Ajax at 19. I'm still laughing at 30 million for Frimpong, says One Inch Wonder. I've done that. I'm just going to catch up on a few of these, and then I'm going to go on to the Garnacho story. Thank you to Nick Warren coaching. Thank you to Emily Derry. Uriam says both Bruno and Man United want the sale to happen, but both are trying to save face with the fans and are waiting for the other party to force the sale. I don't know. I don't know. I actually think he's going to stay. My opinion is he's going to stay. United have gotten B and C options for years and we're crap at player development. No surprise we're a mid-table team, says Marlowe. Thank you very much for that. Garfield, you've mentioned putting in two super chats. I don't know whether you're doing it on purpose to slow the chat down, but there is not one from you in there. And you said the same yesterday and there wasn't one in there. So you've got your answer. There's not any super chats in from you, so I don't know what you think you're doing, because they're not there. Sorry to take some time out there, but Garfield is somebody that's been part of the channel for a very long time. But there's no super chats from you at all. Ideal summer transfer window: Gonçalves, Humlin, Gyökeres, three sporting players, and Kevin Trapp, the Frankfurt goalkeeper, says Youssef. Nigel says, you've explained this Bruno situation so many times. The issue with people, they listen to something and then interpret it in their own world, says Nigel. Very good observation on the human brain, actually. The amount of times I'll look at the comments and somebody hasn't watched the video. I'm still laughing at done that one as well. If the debt was wiped clean, would we be more profitable or in deficit based on salaries? No European football. Killen, if this football club wasn't in debt, we would be one of the powerhouses of world football. We are in debt and have been in debt for 20 years, and we maintain that debt off our own revenues, not because people give us handouts. This club is loaded. It's just loaded with debt. So we've got debt of about £700 million. That costs us between 30 and 60 million a year in debt interest. Doesn't bring the debt down. We just pay the interest. So the 700 million stays and we pay interest to the people that we owe that money to. That's this football club. So 30 to 60 million pounds every year that we make services the debt that we didn't put on the club. So you take away that debt, this football club is wealthy. And we've spent £1 billion on transfers in the last 10 years anyway. But imagine how much more money we would have. Imagine the stadium we could build. So never forget what this debt is to the club. It's crippling. Why would we go for Emi Martinez? He's 32. Caden, 32, goalkeeper is prime. Nothing, 32 for a goalkeeper is not old. It's their prime. So, look, I'd take Emi Martinez and Gyökeres today. I said it last night. I'd sell Bruno and take Emi Martinez and Gyökeres today, and I'll live with the consequences next season. And I think I'll be right. Obviously, he'd missed the first three games of the season because he got sent off against us. But I think with, yeah, look, as Nuri says, we signed Van der Sar at 35. Definitely. Okay, let me talk about Garnacho, because obviously Garnacho's under fire at the moment. Everybody's talking about Bruno and incomings, but we should probably take a minute or two just to talk about Garnacho and Rashford. I think with Marcus Rashford, all his eggs are in the basket of Barcelona. They really like him. He's the cheapest option, but there are other options there. Luis Diaz has been mentioned as well. I think for Rashford's sake, he needs that Barcelona deal, because if it doesn't happen, he's sort of stuck in a situation where it's not the club he wants. And I don't think he'd be looking to take pay cuts to go to people like AC Milan, Napoli, Spurs, etc. So I think with Rashford, the Barcelona story needs to happen. I think it's good for Barca. I think it's good for him, and ultimately Man United as well. I just don't know how long it's going to take with Rashford. I think the worst thing that could happen is if Barcelona pull out and go for somebody else. That damages Rashford massively, because I think it's a dream move. I just don't know how quickly that deal will happen. So I think the latest with Rashford is basically how quickly Barcelona can do a deal for him, and if they do a deal for him. If they don't, it becomes a very interesting scenario, because I don't see a way back to Manchester United. So where would he go? Would it be another loan? I don't know. It could get quite desperate. With Garnacho, again, I'm quite confident on the Garnacho situation, because I think it will be quite quick. I expect Garnacho to be a Napoli player by the end of the month. From what I was told last week, but also what we were told after the Europa League final is that he's leaving. And it's highly likely to be Napoli, because they were very interested in January. They'd done a lot of groundwork in January. There was even a feeling that he might go in January. Obviously, that didn't happen. Obviously, it's going to happen. They have to part ways. There is no way back. I think what you've seen is a bit of a fallout in December when it was Rashford and Garnacho who didn't make the match day squad against Man City, which we won. I don't want to think back about last season, but that's a madness, isn't it? We go to the Etihad, we drop Rashford and Garnacho, and we win. I mean, in a season where we got beat by everybody, we went to the Etihad and beat fucking Man City without Rashford and Garnacho. So they'd had a little bit of a falling out. Garnacho worked hard, Amrim appreciated it, and then at the end of the season, they've had another falling out. So it's two strikes and you're out. I think Garnacho wants to move. Amrim obviously has had enough as well. So it will be about where he goes and how quick. Now, Saudi has been mentioned. He's not going to go to Saudi at 20 years of age. He wants to be in that Argentinian squad. He wants to be following in the footsteps of people like Messi and Ronaldo, whether that's realistic or not, that's what he wants to do. And he's certainly got the belief to do that. Whether he's got the talent and consistency, we'll have to see. And he certainly doesn't want to be coming back, and Amrim doesn't want him back for pre-season because it's just a distraction, which United don't need. So, and also I think with Garnacho, there's a little bit of competition as well. There will be one or two clubs interested. There was talk of Leverkusen and Ten Hag, but they don't want to pay, they don't want to pay 45 million. I think they want to pay 35. Napoli, obviously very interested. Atletico Madrid have been mentioned. Saudi been mentioned as well. So I think with Garnacho, it's probably, and I don't know whether he's in the Argentinian squad, actually. I meant to check that. Let me have a quick look. Because we'll be able to predict the timeline very, very quickly. Yeah, so he's not in the Argentinian squad for World Cup qualifiers. Mastantano got called up, but no Garnacho. So, I think what will happen with Garnacho is, season's over, hop on a plane, bit of a holiday for 2 weeks, agent gets to work, back end of June, permanent deal done. I think that's what will happen with him. And I would expect it to be Napoli, and I think Napoli's the right move for him now that Conte's staying, disciplinarian, good season, no Scott McTominay, going to be in the Champions League. I've already said, look, Napoli's the team I want to watch next season anyway. I think they've got some really interesting players, especially if Kevin De Bruyne goes there as well. So yeah, I think that's where he will end up. And I think it'll be quite a quick deal. And it goes back to what we were saying before. Garnacho will happen quite quickly. So why aren't you spending the money before you get it? Because we're not confident, are we? So yeah, I think that's what will happen with Garnacho. I think it will be quite quick. Sancho, somebody just said, what about Sancho? I mean, I don't know why Chelsea don't just pay the 25 million. I mean, realistically, he's actually done okay for them in the last few weeks of the season. Look, Chelsea's ambition might be why they send Sancho back. Maybe they want something better, but he actually hasn't done that bad for them recently. And for 25 million, I don't know why they wouldn't do it, but maybe Sancho will be heading back. I don't know. The thing about Sancho is I just can't see how he'd fit in the team. He'd be sat on the bench at United again. You're not going to play in the number 10 position ahead of Cunha, Ahmad or Mount or Xerxes. So there's no way back for Sancho at Man United either. I expect Garnacho to be a very quick one in June because there's a list. And also what you've got to bear in mind is it's the World Cup next year. He's not in the Argentinian squad. And a little bit like Rashford, if you're leaving Man United, you don't want to be doing it in August without a pre-season. Then you start the season slowly, you miss the internationals, and then basically you've only got the March internationals to get in for the World Cup. So you want to be in the internationals in September, October and November. And to be in them, you've got to start the season well wherever you are. So I think Garnacho is going to be pushing for that move very, very quickly, which benefits United, of course. Omar, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much. You're a legend. Agree with Emi Martinez, class and proven, but Gyökeres could be a flop like Antony, says Ashley. A lot of people, I don't know what it is about Gyökeres, but I'm seeing a lot of people doubting him. And I don't. Admittedly, my striker assessment is not my strongest area. Obviously, I thought Rasmus would do really well, and I still, miracles can happen. Maybe he will. I didn't think Cavani would be a good signing, and he did do quite well. So I might be wrong, but I just think because he's played the Amrim system, because he is 26 and he has scored a lot of goals in the Champions League as well, which I know the Champions League isn't look, for me, the Champions League was the best football I saw this year. And I enjoyed the Premier League, but I think the Champions League this year was brilliant. So I think he would work well. Great commentary on yesterday's game, says Omar. Thank you. Likely to end up with James Trafford and Danny Welbeck, says Nick. Thomas Williams, welcome to Members Club. Does selling Bruno mean we get Gyökeres guaranteed? If it's just going to Glazer's pocket, then we shouldn't sell, says Mrs. Stone. I don't think anything is guaranteed. Jason says City have parted company with De Bruyne and we're worried about selling Bruno. Sell him and rebuild, says Jason. Thank you very much. So 82% of you would sell Bruno Fernandes and 18% of you wouldn't. That's not mentioning fee. That is 82%. I think if you're Bruno Fernandes, that needs feeding back. Because, you know, Paul Scholes said it yesterday, a legend of the game, a legend of the play, of the club. 82% of you here, I imagine most polls are like that now. It's a problem. And, you know, he's been a great servant to this football club. And I think we're all sad if he goes. But I think because of what happened last season, there is this feeling in the fan base that if there has to be a sacrificial lamb, then there has to be one. I mean, look, Rashford's going. I mean, we've all become accustomed to that. But at the start of last season, if I'd said to you, by next June, Rashford and Bruno would be gone, you'd go, what? So if Rashford can be moved on, Bruno can be moved on, Casemiro can be moved. I mean, there's nobody that can't be moved. Garnacho as well. Imagine that. Imagine if I'd said to you at the start of the season last year in August, by the end of June next year, Rashford, Garnacho and Bruno will be gone. You'd be like, he needs locking up. Breathalyze him. He's absolutely wasted. He must be on drugs. You wouldn't have believed it, would you? It just shows you what football can do. Football can be so unpredictable. And this is why it makes me laugh when people try and, you know, hipster their way to tell us what's going to be and what's not going to be, because you could never have predicted that. Never could have predicted that. I think people are sceptical with Gyökeres because we've burnt in the past by bad purchases. Only one way to find out. It's a slow sports news. Sam Blanco says, Mark, 100 million for Bruno can get us four top quality players paid over 3 years. There's no way we don't get Champions League next season after that. Sacrifice the whole lot. There's no one who's not on the table, says Mrs. Stone. Andre says the Gyökeres is not Premier League proven point is stupid. Aguero, Drogba, Rude, Henri, Salah, to name a few, all from outside, and they're rated as Premier League strike royalty. Thank you, Andre. If we get Martinez, he'd miss the first few games, says Ben. You're right. And apparently Garnacho's priority is Chelsea from Sky Sports this morning, and Chelsea wants Sancho, but are worried he won't drop his wages, says Bew. I don't think Garnacho's priority is Chelsea, and I wouldn't listen to Sky Sports on transfers unless the year is 2015. Would I take João Pedro? Yes, Max, I would. I think Garnacho's priority is Napoli. I think he, you know, the Maradona thing, the Italian life. I think, isn't it Italy that has close connections with Argentina, and Spain, Portugal have close connections with Brazil? I always get that mixed up, but I think Napoli, lovely part of the world, Naples, Champions League football. What you do if you're Garnacho is you've got time on your side. So you go to Napoli at 20. I can't believe we're selling a 20-year-old, by the way, who could go on and be very good. You go to Napoli at 20 for 3 years. You become a really good player. And then at 23, your next move is maybe PSG, maybe Barcelona, maybe back to the Prem. He's definitely got time on his side. So I don't think he needs to go and stay in the Premier League. If I was him, I think Napoli's perfect. And you get to play with under Conte, which I think is so important for him. He needs to go and play in a system where he can play on the wing under a disciplinarian. And I think that's where he will go. Shaheen says that Bruno offer is the lifeline we needed. Do you think next season is Kone's breakthrough? Well, he's going to go on loan, Navi. So I don't think it's going to be his breakthrough at Man United. Look, fantastic show this morning. A wide array of topics. We have got our 8 o'clock show tonight because there's no football. So 8 o'clock tonight, we will be back with Sunday Night Live. If anything happens in between, obviously we'll go live. I don't know. The transfer window is open today, but I feel like it's probably Sunday after the Champions League final. A lot of journalists will have been on a jolly last night because everyone gets invited. So it might be quite a quiet one, but we'll have to wait and see. But I expect things to start kicking off next week. Thanks, everyone. Take care. And I do think June will be a big month for Man United. It might not be about incomings, but I do think, as I say, the Garnacho deal will be done in June. It makes sense. Maybe Rashford could be done in June as well. Where are United going, though? The thing I'll leave you with is, where are we going? Because we need to know the player, because it'll be weeks before they sign. So who are we actually in for at the moment? I don't believe the Mbeumo story. I don't believe the Gyökeres story. I don't. There's no story about us being linked to a player that I actually think we're in advanced talks with at the moment. And we need to know where we're going, because it is June now, and in a month they're coming back for pre-season. Thanks for watching. Take care. Stay safe. I'll speak to you a little bit later.